I asked Wilma what she's most proud of. Can I ask you that question too, as you look back? What are you most proud of?
I think the most proud of is the people. You give them a chance that they can do what they want to do. You have to trust them, give them the opportunity, and the things that they can accomplish. What people give me credit for in the community, I have to say, I didn't do this by myself. The people, the volunteers in the communities helped me. You know, so always give credit to my staff or to the volunteers in the communities when I'm given credit. I think that's where it all belongs.
Yeah.
It's we all do it. We do it together.
Again, how old are you?
77.
77. And you're not one to sit around, so what are you doing these days?
Trying to play some golf, learn how to play. I was asked recently to help with the Cherokee language group. So that's where I'm going.
You were asked to participate?
Yes.
In that language center?
Yes.
What will you be doing in that language center?
I think they have some plans how they want to do this. I think they want to see what input I may have. I think they mainly would want to see maybe organizing. How would you organize this? This and that. I think. I'm not sure. I can't speak for them, but that's just what I was telling Christina. I think that's what they want me to do. But I'm a fluent speaker.
The children now, Cherokee, are they learning the Cherokee language? This is what this is about. Because of this, the Cherokee language will never fade away.
Right.
I think some tribes are nervous about that,
right,
and that it's fading.
Some of it's gone.
Even gone. So this, and Chief Hoskins is certainly involved in that.
I think that's long overdue. Finally, the tribe's getting to a point where the Cherokee speakers are now going to be pretty much in charge of just how they want to teach it. I don't know how that's been taught in the past. I think they have been successful in some ways, but I think there's a lot more to the language rather than just learning how to say something in one way, one word. And then there's all different ways it needs to be said, needs to be taught. If we'll ever reach that point in our time, in my, I think this is the last generation that really are the fluent speakers. I hope we have enough time to teach those young people. But the young people has to be drawn in. The young people have to want it. You got to make it appealing for them. You got to draw them in. Always say you got to make them feel good. You got to make them want it, you know. Mm-hmm. My thing is, you'd be surprised what pizza to have one of those. That's how I get my young people to come in and help me when I have a project. I'll buy you all the pizza. You
know, oh, yes.
There they come. And you get their attention and this and that. But I think there's different ways we need to draw those young people in and really, really, really bear down and make it interesting for them to learn how they can keep the language going.
Right.
Because we are losing it.
Right. And the culture. We need to keep
the
that culture going
also,
as well.
Also, that's all going to be in the culture, the medicine, the food,
right,
and all
right,
that. It's going to be included.
Yeah.
There's some people on that already.
What's your favorite Cherokee food?
Beans and fried bread.
Yeah. You gave me a book here when I came in, Mankiller Poems, The Lost Poetry of Wilma Mankiller, with a foreword by Joy Harjo, who I've also interviewed for voicesofoklahoma.com. You discovered some of these poems, I think.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, I never was someone that liked poetry. Probably I didn't understand poetry. And after Wilma was gone, I looked at the poetry. I thought, oh my God, I wish I'd listened to that. I wish I'd have been more part of her writing with poetry. So I found some of the poems in the folder that was she was writing about my book. And then Greg and them found some more in the barn. She had a folder of them. And also she did some prison work early on. So there were some poems from the San Quentin prison. Greg did some research. He said, I think they're all gone. They couldn't find anybody. So the poems are included in that.
Well, there are many poems. I've opened up the last page in the last poem. Why don't you read this as we begin to conclude that poem that Wilma wrote?
I kiss the rare fruits of joy and feel the heat of being alive, embracing closely the lights of fading dreams as they circle the edge of something called freedom.
Yeah. So how would you like to be remembered, Charlie?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'd like to be remembered as a good person.
Well, there's no question about that, but you also have a humble nature. You could go beyond that, your community involvement and all that kind of thing. But maybe you want to leave it at that. I'm not going to force you to say anything more. That you wanted to be remembered as a good person.
Good person that helped people.
So, Charlie, I want to thank you for this time. It was such a pleasure to meet you, Christina, to be in this wonderful setting along the Illinois River in a log cabin. It's the best setting I've been in to interview people. So thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it.
Well, feel free to come back anytime. We'll sit around, we'll talk and just tell stories.
Yes.
That's great. I love it. And I love what you're doing. You're preserving history and doing a lot of good for our society. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Should we say a big amen to this whole session? Amen?
Amen.